Welcome to Expanding Language. Listen as we read a story to you while gradually flipping the words from the language you know to the language you want to learn. Once a word is flipped, it stays flipped, filling up the story with words in your new language. You'll have hints, you'll hear the word in both languages, repeat it twice so that you can practice speaking them. For instance, a sentence in Indonesian, it was the best, terbaik, best, terbaik, of times. It was the worst, terburuk, worst, terburuk, of times. After a while, those hints will go away as you become familiar with the word in the new language. That's immersion. For instance, a sentence in Indonesian, it was the terbaik of times. It was the terburuk of times. So sit back and relax and let the new words and stories wash over you. We recommend expanding language as a complement to the hard work you're doing in the classroom or online. Expanding language. Learn a new language one story at a time.
The Staircase by James Morgan. Adapted from the 39 Steps. Welcome to the 39, English to Spanish, Level 1. This is the story of Jay Kanai, who comes to Boston to settle down, but is soon bored. A mysterious man named Scudder comes to him for help, warning of a virus that will cause outbreaks in 39 cities across the US and Canada. 2 days later, Scudder is dead, and Jake is the chief suspect. Evading the police and the terrorists behind this virus, Jake must now decide whether Scudder was insane. He imprisoned a woman named Sarah at a remote cabin in an unknown location. Ultimately, Jake will learn that Sarah is the only key that can prevent the outbreaks. Adapted from the 1915 thriller by John Buchanan, this is a story and hero brought to life in the modern world. Chapter 1. The Man Who Died. My flight to Boston arrived at around 3 in the afternoon. My hermano, brother, was supposed to pick me up, but he was stuck at work. Así, I took a bus that ran through a tunnel to a subway that ran to a streetcar. I could have walked esa, that. Last bit more quickly. That was two weeks ago. I was sick of my old life and had convinced myself that Boston could offer me something mejor, better. It's a gran, big college town, and I'd gone to college. Not that I'd done much with that. I'd gone to college so that I could be an officer in the U.S. Army. Then, I'd been an officer. I'd made for a strange army lieutenant, what with my South African accent. That never got old, that look on de la gente, people's face when I opened my mouth up to talk. Because I'd been born in Boston and lived here for the first year of my life. Entonces, then, my father had taken us, on what was supposed to have been a short assignment, to South Africa. I'd served in Afghanistan. Entonces, then, I'd done exactamente, just, about what my father had done many years earlier. I'd taken my experience and traveled around the world on it. I got paid well to provide consulting services. These services mostly involved keeping my tipo, guy, safe from las personas, the people, the people who wanted to kill him. I'd done this in all tipo, kinds, tipo, kinds of interesting places, from Saudi Arabia to Yemen to a short stint in China. But, like I said, I was sick of all that. I had suficiente dinero, enough money, to move to an expensive city like Boston. I'd been told that the women in Boston were beautiful and independent. That had been suficiente, enough, for me to paint a nice picture of what life would be like. The more so since I had a pile of dinero, money, I could burn through. I wasn't exactly ready for retirement, being in my mid-30s. I needed something new. But it wasn't working out, after all. Nearly tan, so, tan, so well as I'd hoped. It was the middle of May, what is chokingly called spring in New England. Rainy and cold. Summer hadn't remembered to show up yet. The weather made me feel worse. I'd been going regularly to a neighborhood bar, hoping to get to fall in with a group of people I could hang out with. I befriended the bartender, a nice tipo bastante enough guy. But, hard as I'd tried to pick up a bar where I'd find something in common with the rest of the folk, I'd failed. I was in the wrong neighborhood. It was full of doctors and pretty nurses, sure, from nearby MGH. I couldn't even figure out how to talk with them. They didn't even seem to care that much about the local baseball team. Go Sox. I see. It felt like I was making the mismos, same, old mistakes, wrong accent, wrong army, wrong city. Suddenly, I missed the life I'd left. Because in esa, that, life, protecting powerful personas, people, I had friends to go out drinking with. I hadn't joined a gym. The only exercise I was getting was running around a loop on the Charles River. The girls I'd passed on the path might as well have been a million miles away. Then, there'd be Saturday night on Newbury Street, and that just made me feel that Boston was stupid and noisy. Drunk, gente, people, at the clubs on a Saturday night, doing the misma, same, stupid thing they always do, stumble around, wait for last call, and then hook up. A few days ago, there'd even been the start of a bar fight. Esa had been a terrible temptation to fall into familiar formas, ways, and to do something I'd be good at. But I didn't need ese tipo, that kind of trouble, spending the night in jail, getting a criminal record. I cleared out just before the fleet of cop cars arrived. After two weeks, I still hadn't joined a gym. I was getting into bad habits and knew I should leave. I knew I'd mejor, better, get out. Otherwise, I'd be sleeping late and making new friends in the bars for the mismo tipo, same kind of stupid games I'd left behind in the many barracks I'd lived in. Worse even, because the army was different. If you were lucky, you'd hook up with a woman. That's something, obviously, you can do in Boston, too. But in the army, it makes sense. You've got a common heritage, a bond. You probably know a lot of the mismas personas, same people. the more so if it's a small station. Whereas in Boston, in the bars, I don't get it. The woman might like the way I look, they like my strange accent, and that's that. Suficiente for them, at least when they've had suficiente to drink. I felt like punching a wall when I thought about all the plans I'd made, plans that had gotten me through bad times doing security in Afghanistan and other places. I'd saved up suficiente dinero, enough money, that I could do what I wanted for a year or dos, two. Being a security contractor is all about dinero, money, and the rush of danger. Hopefully you worked with guys you trusted, but now I'd lost the rush of danger and the guys I liked hanging out with. All that was left was the dinero, and the fun I'd experienced I could buy. At least I hadn't rushed into signing expensive leaves. I was staying in a room in my hermano, brother's, apartment, in the fancy area of Back Bay. We weren't that close, and he was away most of the time, spending lots of nights at his girlfriend's apartment. We kept talking about how he was going to show me around, but it wasn't happening. Not really. His girlfriend didn't like me or the places I'd come from. She made that much clear. My father had moved us out of America, specifically Boston, when I was solo, dos, two. And my hermano, brother, six. I'd never been home since. Así, besides being a supposed hotbed of hot college women, Boston was supposed to feel like coming home. I thought I'd meet a girl and maybe settle down. But, as I've been saying, Boston pretty much sucked, at least as far as I was concerned. I'd gotten sick of walking around, doing the tourist thing after a week. It's not tan much fun going to the clubs and the restaurants alone, even if pretty soon you'll make friends. Maybe that happens once gente know who and what you are. Except that pretty soon in Boston felt like it might be 6 months. Because that's the type. Tipo. Kind. Of city it is. You meet guys out who've known each other since high school. I had no real friend to hang out with, and maybe that explains a lot. Sure, I got invited to parties. Gente who knew me from personas I knew. They'd ask me a question about growing up in South Africa, or maybe about the war, but it wasn't really what they wanted to talk about. Don't even ask me what they really wanted to ask me about. Because I couldn't focus. I'd just get drunk on cheap or fancy beer. Here I was, 37 years old. Enough dinero. Así que. I didn't need to worry for a while. I could spend time where I wanted, healthy and fit and yawning my head off all the time. I decided that I'd give it a week and luego, I'd get out, back to some place where I'd go back to being a security consultant or something, and probably never come back to what these people considered civilization. It was a Friday, and I'd spent the entire afternoon online, tracking investments, trying to find something that would make me dinero. Quick. Solo. Just. To show myself I could do something useful. I hope that this, trading, wasn't going to turn into gambling. Because gambling would probably turn me into throwing all my dinero away. A spiral of self-destruction so that I'd be forced back into my own life. We make our own cages, after all. Entonces, there'd be no choice except to go back into the danger. It had been raining all day. Friday. I was sick of being home all the dark day. The rain was smacking against the windows. I went out to my local bar. There I could get dinner, and if I stayed in Boston, I'd have someone to talk to, eventually. Maybe. 6 months to a year. Not that anyone at the bar was even remotely interested in talking to me. They were all watching the TV, which was reporting on the outbreak of what was being called the Q virus. I didn't care about the outbreak or las personas who died up in Toronto. That made me feel lousy, too, like I was too involved in my problems to feel for gente going through something far worse. I didn't feel much sympathy because I was done bored, I guess. But the newscasters and the gente in the bar were another story. They cared and made sure you knew it. The newscasters were all freaked out by the fact that there'd been no vector found. The second outbreak had started yesterday morning. That had been in Montreal a month earlier, before it even come stateside. Nearly 300 had died in esa epidemic. The no vector thing scared everyone because it was tan mysterious. The virus had seemed to suddenly materialize in the center of the city. Those who got hit showed flu-like symptoms. Epidemiologists had traced the Toronto epidemic to a patient zero. He was a stockbroker and had survived and was now recovering, but he hadn't gone anywhere interesting or been out of the country. He hadn't gone near any weird animals or, by extension, met anyone who had done any of these things. So where, everyone was asking, had he caught the virus? He'd just gotten sick. He decided to power through it and gone to work. That had gotten a lot of other personas sick. The newscaster said what everyone was saying. If you were sick, you should stay home. But that didn't seem like my problem. I felt fine, except that I was bored out of my mind. I half watched the TV and half looked out the window, watching the rain pound down on Charles Street. I sat in an awkward curve of the bar, tried not to feel stupid for the fact that I didn't know anyone. Unable to stand the boredom and the lack of belonging anymore, I went home at about 6. The rain stopped and the sun came out. I played video games, but knew they wouldn't amuse me for long. I need to go out again. I went back out as the sun was setting, the street still shining from the rain. Walked across the common to see a movie at the grande, big theater there. It was a stupid action flick, full of explosions with a daring romance wedged into it somehow. I didn't stay that long, maybe halfway through the movie. I came out to see crowds of excited gente. They were on their camino, way, to restaurants or whatever. They surged past me. I was jealous of them all for having something to do. The couples walked hand in hand across the park, talking quietly. The drunk groups of men and women were on their camino, way, the clubs over in the alley and the clubs there. The tourists, all terribly dressed, were out to see what Boston looked like at night. They had things they were interested in that kept them going, kept them from thinking too much, kept them happy or stressed or whatever. At least it was suficiente to keep them from wandering around on the outside, looking in the forma way, I was. I gave $5 to a homeless guy because I saw him yawn, figured he at least understood my troubles. I knew that I'd go home next. I wouldn't be able to sleep and, I'd watch TV until I could finally pass out. I wasn't even worried about getting up at any time the next morning. Again, I told myself that I'd give myself another week in Boston and luego get out. I'd go back to places where, half the time, the ruling elite made their point by killing someone. My job would be to slow ese process up a little bit protect my guy and his family. Dia, day, dia, day, by day. I complain about the stress, pile el dinero up, and it'd be mejor than what I was doing now. Right now, I was solo, hoping that if I slept late, my hermano, brother, the finance tipo, guy, wouldn't be around in the morning to look funny at me. My hermano, apartment, was in Marlborough Street, on the fourth floor. I arrived at the grand, fancy stone staircase and opened the fancy mahogany puertas, doors. I let myself into the dark and expensive-looking hallway. There was a tiny little elevator at the back of the hallway, but I took the stairs, because that's exercise, right? I took them dos at a time, and was just about to unlock the puerta, door, to the apartment, when I noticed a guy next to me. I hadn't seen him before, didn't know where he'd come from. He'd probably been waiting on the staircase above me and come down quick, as I'd had my back to him. Not a smart thing to do, as far as I'm concerned. He made me jump. He looked nervous, and I wondered what a fight would be like in the close quarters of the hallway. If he wanted to hurt me, he'd probably have a knife. We were up at the top of the stairs where they got narrow. Once, this had been where the servants had lived. He was a tall, thin tipo, guy, stubbly beard, maybe 40, my height, intense blue eyes. He looked familiar. I wasn't sure where from, but it wasn't Boston. "Can I talk to you for a minute?" he asked. He'd probably tailgated in behind someone at the front puerta, door, or maybe solo, pushed buttons, and pretended to be delivering a package until someone let him in. If it weren't for the fact that I might have recognized him and that he was dressed okay, I'd have told him to get lost. I'd tell him that I'd call the cops on him, because there are plenty of guys who hang out in the train stations. They're dressed okay. They stop you like they want to ask directions and instead ask you for dinero. "I know you from someplace," I asked. He nodded, nervous as hell, and said a word. The name of the company I'd done work for. The company I'd worked at before my last job. Had been providing security in Yemen. I didn't say anything more, just got the puerta, door, opened, and motioned him in. He went in fast and disappeared toward the back bedroom before I could say anything. I was yelling after him as he explored the apartamento, the grand living room at the front, dos bedrooms at the back, and a kitchen between them. I hope my hermano wasn't in waiting to be surprised. He came back, moving fast. "Is the puerta locked?" he asked, all jumpy. He put the chain on himself before I could answer. Luego, he slowed down, forced himself to calm down. "I'm sorry to bother you, but you're someone who'll understand, maybe. I've known you were in Boston for the past 2 weeks. Kept you in mind in case things went sideways. I see. You think you can help me out a little?" I started to wonder if this was solo about dinero. More than a dollar. Him asking me for a loan. Locking the puerta because he owed dinero to a bookie or something. Counting on the fact that we'd known each other, so that he could ask for a lot. "I'll hear what you got to say. I'll do that much," I said. The guy was making me nervous, feeling like he was sure to make trouble. He must have seen something in my expression. He took a step back and put up his hands. "Okay, sorry, man. Sorry to come here like this, but, you know, right now, I'm dead." I didn't say anything right in ese momento. In ese momento. Wanted things to slow down a little, get a little control. I see. I went past him into the kitchen and got a beer. Asked him if he wanted one. He didn't. I sat down on my hermano sofa, couch, sofa, couch, and drank some cerveza, beer, cerveza, beer. So I said, how's that working out for you? The guy looked confused. He'd sat down on el sofa, the couch, el sofa, the couch, at right angles to me, on the edge, like he was ready to jump up again.
Thanks for listening. If you like this story, tell us through email that you want more English to Indonesian, and whether you like this story best or whether you want more stories like the 39, Little Woman, or Cinder Pup. We will really appreciate your comments and suggestions. Also, tell us if you're ready for level 2, more words in the language you want to learn. Most of all, tell your friends about us. Thank you.